Have you heard of Olivia? The travel company for lesbians and LGBTQ+ women? You know what they say. Those who wish to sing always find a song. And when you're a lesbian or LGBTQ+ woman, you want to be able to go on vacation, have some laughs, and be your unique self. Olivia Travel creates full takeovers of their cruise, resort, riverboat, and adventure vacations. And they program every trip with comedians and musicians from our community. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll have the time of your life. Discover Olivia for yourself at Olivia.com or through the link in our show notes and save $100 on your next Olivia booking when you use promo code CRUISING.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening asking for your guidance, for your wisdom, and your support as we begin this meeting. Help the leaders of this city to engage in meaningful discussion. Allow this community to grow closer, that we continue to grow and influence in the Hampton Roads region. In your name we pray. Amen.
It's October 23rd, 2018, a Norfolk City Council meeting.
But let me express to all of you that we hear you, we see you. We listened since June, and we don't want anyone to leave here to think that we don't care.
This day will always be remembered by the Norfolk lesbian community as the last chance to save their beloved lesbian bar of the past 35 years.
I'm here to speak on behalf of Hershey Bar.
When I found the Hershey Bar, I found my safe place.
I'm really tired of coming up here. I'm super tired in general. I work a lot in activism, so I'm used to feeling defeated about things. But there's something about the Hershey Bar that feels so much more personal, that stings a little bit more.
People knew that if they had been shunned by their families and their friends, that they could come to the Hershey Bar and Annette would take care of them.
Well, so you know what happened to the Hershey Bar, right?
This is Annette Stone, the owner.
Now, mind you, the city does not like me very much right now because of the fight we put up. And I told them that I was not going to go away quietly.
Annette and the rest of her community were never going down without a fight.
I would fight as hard for the Hershey Bar as I did to keep it open all those years. You know, a lot of these folks that came to the bar don't know what sacrifices personally we had to make to keep that bar open for 35 and a half years. But it was quite a tumultuous time, especially in the beginning. I just fought. I just was not going to let them treat my kids like garbage. I just fought. I fought every day, and it was quite a fight.
This is Cruising, a podcast about the last lesbian bars in the U.S. My name is Sarah Gabrielli, and this season, we're taking you to lesbian bars past and present. This is the Hershey Bar.
I'm a Reiki healer. I've studied light work with people from California and all over the country. I was a healer at my metaphysical church. I'm pretty spiritual. I pray every night for hours on end. Grew up about 2 or 3 miles from Five Points, which is where Hershey Bar is. Was born in Cuba. My mother's Cuban and my father's from Kentucky. So Navy family.
Annette Stone grew up in the 60s and 70s, and owning a bar had been a lifelong dream of hers.
I must have been 8 or 10 years old when I started dreaming of owning a bar and telling my dad that I would own a bar. In fact, I went to junior high school down the street from the Hershey Bar, and I used to tell all my friends when we'd walk home from school, I'm going to open a bar on this corner one day. I was, 11, 12, whatever age you are in junior high school, in my early teens. But a lot of the people I said it to ended up being my customers years later. And they told me, and I was like, I did. pontificate on the corner as a penniless kid, you know, saying that I would own a bar here one day. I used to stand outside of the one lesbian bar we had named Shirley's, and there was a long line, and people remember me saying this. I said to them, when I own my bar, none of you will have to stand in line. You know, with this sense of arrogance, and I think I had like $2 in my pocket at the time. But I guess there was just always a knowing that I would have it.
Annette's vision didn't entirely come out of nowhere. As a teenager, she was already patronizing gay bars in the area, which only strengthened her will to open a bar of her own.
I knew I was home. I just knew I had walked into my whole life, my whole future. It was the most beautiful feeling in the world, you know? I'm sure you know.
Annette was 15 years old when she first stepped foot in a gay bar.
I was working at a dinner theater, and the cast took me. And I lifted my brother's ID. He didn't give it to me. I stole it. So, he would not have approved. They thought that I was trans, and it was fine with me. They said, oh, I love your makeup. I'm like, oh, thank you. I mean, what was I going to say? I mean, I just said, thank you.
This bar was mainly for gay men, but that didn't stop it from rocking Annette's world.
I loved the music and the drag queens, and I loved the gay men, the energy, the cattiness. I just loved the whole scene. And then there was, of course, there was a lesbian side where all the women were banished to, you know. And I didn't quite understand that side. And I didn't typically go to that side.
Annette wasn't thinking of herself as a lesbian at this point. Just a girl who was very drawn to her local gay bar.
Until one night when a teacher walked in that I knew.
A female teacher.
Yeah, and I was 19. But I didn't know until that night about myself. I'd never been with anyone, really. At that time, I thought, oh, I'm saving myself till I get married. I didn't understand that that's not what it was at all. Until that night, all the pieces came together. And it was beautiful. It was the best night of my life.
Outside of the gay bars, the environment around Norfolk, Virginia was incredibly hostile.
The bar next door would come over and beat the crap out of us. We'd have to fist fight in the parking lot to defend ourselves. And it was harrowing, to say the least. It happened a lot to us. And I thought, wow, we can't even find a place to go and be ourselves. And so I was hoping upon hope that I could change the viewpoint or the vantage point of who we are. And it didn't work out so well for me. I had to fight so hard to be accepted.
And the more time Annette spent on the lesbian side of the bars, the more she realized they weren't truly accepted there either.
They didn't want us to have our own tables. They wouldn't seat us because women didn't tip as much as men. And so I heard all of the stuff, the chatter, because I was a DJ at one of the local gay bars. And they did not want the women to sit at the bar. They could order drinks, but they couldn't have a seat. And they didn't want to make them feel comfortable us or accommodate us.
It was clear to Annette she couldn't open just any old bar. Norfolk needed another place for lesbians to call their own.
That's what I wanted us to be. I wanted a lesbian bar. That's what I wanted. A safe space for anyone from any walk of life, but specifically, if you are a lesbian, if you are coming out, if you are afraid, if you need a helping hand, if you need a friend, we will be there for you. That's what I mean. We will be there to hold you and get you through it. We will be that warm hug you probably haven't had in many years or ever. We will understand what you're going through because we've been through it.
And in 1983, the opportunity presented itself.
I was actually a car salesperson first. And then my partner, Billy Tyndall, I met him and I told him of my dreams. And we started walking around to going to different bars one night. And we stumbled into the Hershey Bar one night. It was a Saturday night and there were two customers and they got into a fist fight. And we said to the owner, hey, you want to sell this place? And he said, you're damned right I do. And I didn't even think that was the same corner where I said I would own a bar. I didn't think that it was just miles from where I was raised and my parents still lived. I didn't think of anything else. In 2 weeks, we were open. There was a huge dance floor and a stage, 4 pool tables. And there was a bar in the back with another stage, pinball machines, just all the usual things that bars have. And we were very creative. So we had funky colors everywhere. We had a 7x7 foot painting of Melissa Etheridge and Katie Lang, which the younger girls didn't know who the heck they were. I'm obsessed with mannequins. So I've had this obsession since, I guess, my mother was a beautician and I had a little crush on her little mannequin head whose hair she used to do. So I think that's how I learned to kiss. And so we had mannequins everywhere. My friend was an artist, so he painted these crazy colors everywhere. It was fun and funky. I loved it. Oh, it was like the warmest hug in the world.
As for the bar's name,
somebody made an off-the-cuff joke when we just bought the bar. She said, you should call it the Cadbury Bar, fruit and nut. You know, making a joke about us, right? And then she said, or maybe the Hershey Bar. And I said, that's it. That's what we're going to be. We're going to be the Hershey Bar, right? And yeah, they hated us right away for that. The city did. They didn't like our name at all.
The city had a problem with a lot more than just the name.
Most younger people don't understand what we had to go through. And it was pretty tough. We couldn't be seen holding hands, or in the state of Virginia, it was illegal to sell alcohol to a known homosexual. So when I opened my bar, I was breaking the law.
In 1983, when Annette opened Hershey, the Virginia Alcohol Beverage Control Board had a statute that said a bar's license could be suspended if, quote, the bar has become a meeting place and rendezvous for users of narcotics, drugs, homosexuals, prostitutes, pimps, panderers, gamblers, or habitual law violators. This rule would remain on the books until 1991. So on Hershey Bar's opening night,
14 public officials came in full regalia. And it was a long time ago, so like walkie-talkies this big, like sticking out of their shirts, and the fire marshal, the lieutenant, whatever, of the police department, ABC, Vice and Narcotics, the health department. They raided us opening night and arrested a couple of girls for using the men's room and beat up another girl pretty badly. For no reason, because she asked them why they were there. And I got shoved. That was our first night in business. Very first night.
This was only the beginning of the problems for Annette and her bar.
I'll tell you, my first year, in 90 days, we had 60 some odd visits from Vice and Narcotics. They raided us all the time. Vice and Narcotics would be on their stomachs with binoculars staring at us, taking down phone numbers. NIS would come in for the military girls and go after them often. Norfolk is a Navy town. So we were, you know, like the do not fly list. We were like the do not visit list. Like nobody in the military was allowed to come to our place. So it was pretty difficult for us because we couldn't be ourselves. And, you know, teachers would come in, of course. They would fear for their jobs often. So we were not allowed to be dancing together or touching or kissing or any of that when Vice and Narcotics came in. And it was horrible for me as a young 20-something-year-old having to deal with all of that. And all I wanted was a safe place for my girls to come to, who I fondly call my children, my kids. You know, I was much younger than a lot of them, but I still took over a maternal role with them because they didn't have a parental figure in their life. Most of them, you know, they got thrown out or weren't invited to family functions any longer.
Annette was barely old enough to buy a drink at a bar herself, yet she was responsible for all of this.
I was in my very early 20s, 21 or so, 22. I have dyslexia, and of course I have ADD, like I invented it. I can't count money. I'm pretty dyslexic, and I didn't know anything about running a business, but I knew that I love that community, and I just, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how we stayed open. I don't know. God just wanted us there, you know? There was something pushing us to be there, and as you can see how everything came together, it was just meant to be and kind of basically out of our hands.
There's one thing Annette was always really good at.
I was the cook, too, for 14, 15 years, and I love to cook, so that was not a problem. A lot of customers came back for the food. We had the best nachos, I think, ever. And we had a free Sunday buffet where anybody could come and eat for many years. And then Thanksgiving, our first Thanksgiving, we realized there were a lot of lonely hearts there that were kind of sad. And I started making food for everybody. And then we started a tradition where we were open every Thanksgiving and everything was free.
Hershey is one of many lesbian bars we've covered that stayed open through the holidays, knowing that so many members of the community don't have anywhere else to go.
A lot of girls, their families disowned them, or they didn't have family, or didn't have the means to get home. So she always made sure the bar was open in case somebody needed something. If you didn't have money for food, it's fine. She would feed you. Same with Christmas.
This is Jennifer Alamari. She grew up in Norfolk.
You know what? I think it was 96 when I first started going to the bar, because I would go on Sundays with a friend from school. We were probably 16 or 15 at the time. But on Sundays, after the softball games, you could be underage in there just because it was like a family style. They had a buffet. So it was open to the girls to bring their families and everything. That was fun. And it was like, wow. It was overwhelming because it was, you know, so many people, even on a Sunday afternoon. And even then, she would feed everyone for free, had this huge buffet full of food, just because she wanted everybody to feel like they were at home, constantly taking care of people.
I did whatever I had to do. It wasn't always about having the best of everything. It was about keeping everyone safe. Even as minimal as someone's cat got hit by a car and they would call me and I would pay for it, you know? It would hurt my own ability to finance myself and my home, but we did those things to keep our community intact.
Even as a young 20-something, Annette felt an immense personal responsibility to protect the Hershey community, her kids, as she calls them, from the threats that face them at every turn.
The guys across the street, in fact, the horse and buggy, I never could go in there. They would come over and beat us up all the time. Like 10 or 20 of them would get drunk and stumble across the street and fight with us. It was god-awful, let's beat the lesbian up night, I guess, you know, and it happened about once or twice a month. It was horrible for us, you know, and I finally told the girls, the next time they come over, we're all going to grab a pool stick and beat them up. And we did. And they never came back. They had to go back to their little bar with everyone knowing that the lesbians across the street beat them half to death, you know? And they never did it again. And that's, you know, that was kind of like the line in the sand. I had had enough of it, of the abuse, but it didn't stop the hatred.
It wasn't just the guys from the bar across the street that didn't want Hershey there. The larger Norfolk community and the city itself fought Annette and Hershey Bar every step of the way.
They had done everything in their power to close us down.
A few years after opening, Annette applied for a liquor license for Hershey. She'd just been selling beer and wine up till that point.
When we applied for our liquor license years later, ABC said they had never, ever, ever seen their little courtroom so packed. But it was not people supporting us. They were all in opposition of us. Just to get a liquor license, we had to fight.
They went up against the city again a few years later when they wanted to renovate and expand their space.
We doubled in size in the 90s. So we were 2,000 square feet and we grew to 4,500 square feet. it was typically the same way when we tried to get our liquor license. The ABC said they'd never seen their chambers so crowded before of people in opposition.
Despite the opposition, Hershey ended up winning both of these fights. Annette attributes the latter win to a newspaper article she was quoted in.
Because I said this had better be about the aesthetics on the exterior of the building and not the clientele on the interior of the building. That was one of my vague quotes in the paper. Because I knew what it was about. We already knew that that's what they were fighting. They were fighting us. Not the expansion of a business. The fact that they didn't want us to grow and prosper together as a community.
As we now know, this is not the last time the Hershey Bar would face the Norfolk City Council.
It didn't stop the hatred. It didn't stop, you know, the dirty underbelly of what they were trying to achieve, you know. But in the end, the city did win because they did shut us down 35 and a half years later.
Have you heard of Olivia, the travel company for lesbians and LGBTQ plus women? You know what they say, wherever you go, there you are. And when you're a lesbian or LGBTQ plus woman, you want to go on vacation, let your hair down, and be your unique self. Olivia Travel creates full takeovers of their cruise, resort, riverboat, and adventure vacations, so you'll spend the week with LGBTQ plus women who come from all different backgrounds yet have so much in common. It's life-changing to be in the majority on your vacation. You don't know until you go. Discover Olivia for yourself at olivia.com or through the link in our show notes. Save $100 on your next Olivia booking with promo code CRUISING.
I've known about the Hershey Bar sort of in the background for years, and I've heard people talk about it. I'd never actually been to Hershey Bar.
This is Councilwoman Andrea McClellan.
I serve on the Norfolk City Council. I have been on the City Council since 2016.
Now, fast forward a couple of years to 2018.
We had an item come up, a real estate item, to purchase land from a property manager where Hershey Bar was located. At the time, I didn't put two and two together. I didn't realize that there were, I think, there are a handful of different businesses in that area. And the councilwoman who represented that part of Norfolk was eager and interested to take down that area and make it into a city park of sorts. And the buildings were a bit dilapidated, to be honest, and not in the best of shape. And so there was an opportunity to move forward with her plans. The problem was, is it wasn't until after, a month or two into it, I apologize, it's been 4 or 5 years now, that we connected that, oh, this was actually going to affect the Hershey Bar itself.
Looking back, Annette thinks things might have gone differently for Hershey had her mom not gotten sick around this time.
I think I would have been embraced as part of the community with the new council person. And, you know, I had done so much work with Better Block.
Better Block is an organization in Norfolk dedicated to improving the business and social communities in the city.
I had gone to every single Five Points Partnership meeting, council. I had gone to all of these meetings all my life, but my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
This was about 8 years ago.
I stopped because I moved into, this is her house, of course. I moved in with her to care for her. And during that time, they utilized that time to do some things to take my bar. Because it never would have happened had my mom not gotten sick. I was at every single meeting. There's no way it could have happened. They used my absence, I guess, as a way to get what they wanted initially and always had wanted to fulfill their agenda, was to get rid of the gay bar.
Years before, Annette had tried to secure the bar's future by purchasing the building they rented in. That deal fell through, but Annette wasn't too concerned. She'd always had a great relationship with the landlord.
He loved me very much. He fought for me when I tried to expand. And when they disparaged me,
he showed up at city council and just started speaking out of turn, you know, for us to get approval to expand. He was telling them what good people Billy and I were. and how we had the right to open our business and to expand our business, and what great tenants we were. He just was full of compliments about us, and I was astounded that he had shown up. And so great, he sat beside me. He was so kind to me. It was really a shock, and I was so grateful for it. I'll never forget him fighting for us.
By 2018, it was no longer the same person managing the property. His grandchildren had inherited it.
They made a deal with the city of Norfolk to sell the property. I don't even know for what reason. I mean, they made a business deal. Okay, I can't fault them for that. But it wasn't, however, true that I was on a month-to-month lease. I was not. Things that transpired after that, because when money's involved, people get ugly. You know, I found that out a long time ago. I did love the landlord family very much. It was pretty ironic that his grandchildren sat in the exact same seat he sat at when he fought for me in the city council meeting. The irony of that, I can't explain to you, but the apple does fall very far from the tree, I guess, you know.
In February of 2018, the Norfolk City Council voted to buy the property for $1.5 million. A term of their agreement, the buildings would be demolished before the city closed on the property.
When we purchase land like this, and we've done this many different for different reasons around the city, we ask the property owner to turn over the land without any buildings on it. It's just sort of standard city fare. So this is no different, no exception there. In retrospect, we should have had an awareness of what was happening and which businesses were going to be affected. We should have been doing outreach to them. But again, it wasn't city-owned property at the time, so it wasn't really ours. Basically, we were being given a plot of land that the city wanted to utilize this councilwoman as a city park. And it all seemed like, oh, this is a great deal, right? It's all, you know, they're going to deliver it and it's going to be a clean plot of land. And then after the fact, it was like, oh my gosh, look what happened. And shame on us. Shame on us for not knowing, quite honestly.
But the Hershey Bar was different than standard city land dealings of the past because it had a rich history and an entire community mobilizing behind it.
If you ever have an opportunity to watch what the community did when they fought for it at the council meetings, I think that's something that should make history because our community really came together and fought for their bar.
Between June and October of 2018, dozens of members of the Hershey community showed up at various city council meetings to rally behind their beloved bar. It was Jennifer Alamari's idea.
So Annette Stone, she told me, some friends, we went up to the bar. She asked us to come up there to talk. And it's just, you know, she's had known us for a really long time, and she wanted us to hear it from her.
That the city was planning to demolish the bar.
She was just very sad and, like, you could tell lost and didn't really know what to do. How do we save this place?
So Jennifer took to social media.
I started making invites on Facebook and making posts like, hey, let's go. This isn't right. This isn't okay. We have to fight for this. Annette has done so many things. She's done so many things for our community over the years. Like, we can't not put up a fight. So just social media, got it out there to go to the council meetings and speak. This was my first time ever doing anything like that. So I didn't really know what we were doing. I just knew we needed to go down there and tell these people, look, you cannot tear this bar down. This is important. This is important to our community now, past, future. This place means something and you need to know what it means.
Good evening.
The following are excerpts from these meetings.
I'm here to speak on behalf of Hershey Bar.
Many spoke of what the Hershey Bar meant to them.
When I was first diagnosed with sarcoidosis and congestive heart failure, they put together a benefit show for me to help me and to help my family. I was in the hospital for over 3 weeks. It's not just a lounge. It's not just a place to come to party and have a good time. It's like everybody's like family.
I have a scar on my forehead right here from being gay bashed. I was put in a mental hospital because my mom wanted to fix me at 15 years old. So imagine when I find there's a gay bar called the Hershey Bar, you know, and I walk in and the safety, the love that I was felt immediately.
Well, my family turned on me so fast with their Southern Baptist stuff. So my family became Hershey. And for years, I would go there for my Christmas, for everything.
When I first set foot in Hershey Bar, I knew that it was special. In my 11 years as a Navy veteran, active duty, I have never felt so accepted in my life as I did in that bar. And I'm straight.
I hate to say that when I first moved out there in 1985, they had the best bacon cheeseburgers in Norfolk. And so, I mean, they, you know, they're my neighbors, they're my friends, and so I'm on their side.
It's where we go to have our birthday parties. It's where we go to raise money for our friends. It's where we go to bury our friends. So I understand to you this may just be a building, but not to us.
They spoke of the bar's cultural and historical significance.
For many LGBTQ folks here in Norfolk, it is difficult to not see this as an act of targeted homophobia. The fact that the city of Norfolk does not want to protect such a significant part of LGBTQ history is disappointing at best. To tear down such a historically significant lesbian bar in favor of future gentrification, though it may not be intended to, is indeed an act of violence against the LGBTQ community.
I grew up in Foundation Park in Chesapeake. My name is Belinda Hawk, Bree Hawk, Bree the Lesbian, Boss Lady Bree, whatever you know me as. It's also a huge part of the LGBT history with the military as well. Some of the same women that I've sat in there and talked to were kicked out of the military because they were in that bar and they had a sting with them outside writing down all the license plates, you know, Billy and Annette rushing to get those people out of there, you know what I mean, to save them their lives. Subsequently, they lost their, you know, right to be in the military. Now they sit right next to the same young ladies that are allowed to be out in the military.
It would be a real shame if Norfolk had the opportunity to keep one of these spaces, one that hasn't had to close its doors because no one showed up for beer on a Friday night or because they couldn't afford to keep the lights on, but because the city wanted to raise the building and the community it housed for yet another parking lot.
And they pled with the city council to do something about it.
Please just think about it and reconsider, because as they said before, where would we go? What would we do?
You guys are going to take away a big part of my community. Everything I am is in that place. It's my home. I had nothing and nobody. These people, these beautiful women, are everything to me and this community. And it just breaks my heart that y'all are going to make a turn lane into it. Please don't do that.
You're not just tearing down a building. You're tearing down a piece of our history. And you're tearing down a piece of our hearts. And I would just hope that you would reconsider your decision. Thank you.
At home, taking care of her mom and watching all of this unfold was Annette.
Well, I watched from home because they are live. And I did not know what to expect. And a couple of people spoke and at every meeting. And you watch the first one, you will see, I didn't expect the avalanche of emotion that I felt. Like, I did not think I could cry that hard. You know, there are certain emotions you never think, like, you know, like the biggest scream you have on a roller coaster. Like, I never knew I could scream that way. Well, I never thought I could cry as much as I did and hurt as deeply as I hurt, as I did watching my kids share their experience to a city council that was not listening. And they weren't. They weren't listening.
At first, it was just a feeling that members of the council weren't listening to their stories and pleas. But eventually, it felt undeniably clear.
One of the councilwomen made some off-colored post on Facebook, and it started a little war with everybody.
What's the name of the person?
Mamie Johnson.
Either after the first or second meeting that we went down there, I was at work and I got a Facebook message from someone I didn't know.
It was a screenshot from Mamie B. Johnson's Facebook page, the Norfolk City Council member for Ward 3, where Hershey Bar was located. On a post announcing her re-election, someone had commented, "Congratulations, now save a landmark in our community, the Hershey Lounge."
She replied to them with three laugh cry emojis. And like, my blood was boiling. I was so angry. Like, first of all, I couldn't believe that that was her response. And it was a very, that was a very public response. So I took that post and sent it to everybody, put it all over social media because I wanted it to get out because at that point it felt deliberate. It felt like this wasn't just something that you guys fell upon, like these people selling this property. At that point, we felt targeted.
You can imagine if you put yourself in my position, seeing that, how much that would hurt. Because there's nothing to laugh about. It wasn't funny. It's not funny. To this day, it's not funny. And maybe they thought it was funny.
The community was so outraged by these emojis, they became a bit of a rallying cry.
A couple of the girls made these little buttons with the laugh cry emoji, kind of in your face. But I think it angered the community. Like, how dare you? How dare you laugh at that?
It hurt us on a very deep level. We never received an apology or real explanation for it. It was horrific. And that was in the infancy of us trying to save the bar. And so it really slanted the relationship. Instead of us getting better, it divided everyone. They were angry at us. We were, of course, hurt that she would do that as a public official. And she was spearheading the sale of the property, too. It was ugly. I'll send you the link.
You know, it's not just specific to this incident. I think, you know, I've seen that amongst my colleagues. There's this, okay, we heard you. Let's go. Let's move on. Next.
Andrea McClellan is the only council member, at least according to Jennifer and Annette, who seemed to care about what people were saying.
I just don't think anybody understood how deeply this was going to hurt the community and what a sense of family there was and this need to essentially mourn publicly. And I think it's our job to be respectful and to listen and to understand. And it's a shame that others didn't feel the same way.
At least from her perspective, none of this was specifically targeted at the LGBTQ community.
I truly don't believe that there was any sort of intentionality of getting rid of Hershey Bar. I really don't. As horrible as it sounds, it was literally just a real estate transaction. And I think my other colleagues, they just wanted to move on. And I think that's really sad because I think, you know, as an elected official, people aren't going to always agree with me, but I always want people to feel heard.
At the final council meeting on October 23rd, 2018, just 8 days before the bar was supposed to be shut down for good, 39 people spoke one last time.
We've gotten up here week after week. We've brainstormed solutions, only to be completely ignored by members of City Council. I've watched members of City Council play on their phones as concerned citizens get up and voice their frustration. I'm drained, I'm tired, I'm sad, and I'm angry.
I'm really tired of coming up here. I'm super tired in general.
For months, your LGBTQ constituents have been mustering up the courage to tell you in a televised public meeting where their names and home addresses will be published, that they feel left out of this process. They've been telling you how important Hershey is, and they've shared with you how often LGBT people are harassed, assaulted, and forced to create their own families out of thin air when they are disowned.
As a city council, you have the opportunity to show that you want to ally with your constituents and support them and not abandon them. So, whether that involves an extension or an alternative redevelopment plan that provides a space for these people, I think that it is important that you do that because otherwise you are pitting yourself against this community potentially. And I know that you don't want to do that and that the city and the people here don't want to feel that way.
We're concerned that the structure of these panel-based meetings in which we speak to you but aren't allowed to ask questions or engage in a two-way conversation is limiting the scope of any progress being made. The discussions that we're proposing would focus on how a compromise can be reached in which one of the remaining cornerstones of Norfolk's rich, groundbreaking LGBT history is preserved while still also allowing for new growth and development in Norfolk's Five Points area. We believe that these two concepts are not mutually exclusive. There is room for both of these ideas.
Good evening, Mayor, Hi. City Council. My name is Jennifer Alamari. We've been coming to you week after week since the 26th of June. And I appreciate, we all do, you've taken the time to listen to our stories. We've been trying to get you to understand that this is so very much more than a bar. And I would just ask one more time, please, if there is any way you can find it in your hearts to help us, please.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
But it wasn't enough.
They'd already made their mind up, and that was it. It was a futile attempt to save a bar, and they did not do anything.
It was such a sad state of affairs because it was the real estate transaction was so far gone at this point that we weren't in a position to make a change.
When I briefly spoke with Councilwoman Mamie B. Johnson herself, she didn't seem to think the transaction was too far gone at all. She actually took a lot of issue with me using the term irreversible in asking about the land purchase.
When the community did come out for 6 months and express the history of the space, all of their emotion behind it, like the feelings of dozens and dozens of community members, like coming to the meetings and expressing that, why was it irreversible?
I was going off of what Andrea had told me and honestly thought this would be an easy answer for her about real estate contracts. But I'm just going to let her response mostly play through to the end of the phone call. It's a little confusing and repetitive at points, but I think it's valuable for us all to experience what the Hershey community was really dealing with here.
So, Sarah, if you really want to know,
yeah,
there were about six people, I would say 6 to 8 people, that came out over a course of months.
Oh, I actually have all of the records on it. So I've listened to all of them. So I know that there were, especially at the last meeting, I believe there were 39 people that spoke about it. So I know it was a huge, I know the vastness of it.
What you can do, the city can compare the information that they have to the information that you have as far as the number of people who actually came out, who actually lived in the Norview area, who actually lived in the city of Norfolk. And although some did not live in the city of Norfolk, we listened to what they had to say. We also listened to what the Hershey Bar meant to them. But you know, the misunderstanding was that the city went after the property. No, the owners came to the city. The owners wanted to sell the Hershey
Bar. But why was it irreversible demolishing the space? Why was that irreversible with, or why was that not changed?
What do you mean irreversible? If the community was okay with it, then they have a input too. They have a say too. Whether they're a part of the LGBTQ plus, and some of them were okay with it, as well as people who live in the Norview area. So when you say irreversible, I'm not understanding what you mean, because if the community was okay, then why would someone reverse it? It doesn't work that way.
Well, I know that like dozens of people in the community weren't okay with it, and they were coming out for 6 months to express that they weren't okay with it. And so I guess what my thinking was like, okay, obviously, like, the council that cares about their constituents would do something to not demolish the building. So that's why my assumption was, oh, this deal must have been irreversible because nothing was done about it. But if you're saying that it wasn't irreversible, I'll have to change that in the story to say, oh, it was reversible, but they chose not to.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
So Sarah, let me say this to you. Very rarely do I speak to reporters, and here's why. Because nobody wants to hear the good points. Nobody wants to hear the good points. And that's why I usually refer reporters to the citizens, to give the citizens, all citizens, the opportunity to tell, their story of it. But out of courtesy to you, and because I don't know who you are, out of courtesy to you, I picked up the phone to return your call, to answer the questions to the best of my ability. And I think that is what I've done. And I think also, I think that maybe you're okay with the information that you have. And if there's any other information that you may need, I'm going to say, go to the people. I don't know if you've contacted all the people. I don't know. And I'm okay with that.
I just want to make clear that at this point, I'd already told her multiple times I'd been talking to the community about this, and that I now just wanted her perspective.
The community, I think they can better tell you the story than I can, because there is an LGBTQ plus community in the Five Points Greater Norview area. There is no surprise. I know many of them. I spend time with them, and they're just ordinary people just like I am, who live in the community. But this is something, I respect all people. To me, people are people. I do. I serve all people from every background, ethnicity, and everything. That's what is most important to me. And so I want to say thank you, Sarah, for at least reaching out to mm-hmm. me and maybe listening to what I have to say. But I think that you got the information that you need from me. And again, just talk to the people.
So the people, actually, I hear what you're saying. And I just have one more question for you, if that's all right. And with that, I'd lost my chance to ask her about her use of emojis. It at least appears Councilwoman Johnson is not very reflective or remorseful about what happened to Hershey, unlike Andrea McClellan.
Honestly, I want to be able to say, when we screw up, we screwed up. We screwed this one up. As a city, we tout ourselves as being a very progressive city, a very welcoming and inclusive city. We host the big regional pride event every year here in Norfolk, and we're very proud of that. But this doesn't suggest any of those things, what we did with the Hershey Bar. And I want to recognize that. I can't hide from that fact. And it's one of those things that I wish I could have done more had I been more aware.
But the deed was done. At the end of the night of October 31st, 2018, the Hershey Bar was forced to close its doors for good.
So Halloween was the last night. And much like the first night Hershey was open, the police came out in numbers. They lined, so the bar shared a parking lot, oddly enough, with a church. And at the far end of the parking lot was the church, and then there was a fence line. And all along the fence were Norfolk's finest. At any given time, there were probably at least 10 to 12. There was over 20 in and out. Because then they would drive around Some would leave, more would come, never said a word, just stared. Now, they were not there to protect, nor were they to serve, because Annette had sheriff deputies that she hired as private security. So they were already there, so there was no need for any of that. They didn't interact. They didn't come speak and be like, hey, we're just making sure everybody's safe. They just sat there and watched us.
After 35 years of ongoing harassment, it was a statement more than anything else.
We won. Yep. We won. Ha ha. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I would hear stories about like in the beginning in, you know, 83 when she opened and all the police and all the crazy, awful things that they did back then. But to have that happen in 2018 was like, are you serious?
The following year, 2019, the building was demolished.
They demolished our building, our community center, our home, for no apparent reason. I was never given a reason. They didn't know what they were going to do with the property. And it has been spellbindingly bad for all of us. We are, you know, dying without our bar.
For 3 years, the property sat as an empty lot. In October of 2021, the city began developing the land into a park. And 2 years later, in October of 2023, the park opened to the public.
So it took 5 years for it to open. We could have been ushering in a new generation and helping people. We could have had a place to meet and have communion together for 5 more years, but we weren't able to do that.
The city did offer Annette a $75,000 reimbursement to assist with relocating. For a while, Annette planned to buy the bar across the street from the original Hershey, but a potential business partner fell through, leaving her well over $75,000 in the hole. And then, in March of 2023, Annette finally opened another bar with a friend of hers.
Well, so I have a really good friend that I was working with, and we bought a bar in Ocean View that was very popular. In fact, a lot of gay girls went there, and it looked a lot like Hershey Bar. It had the black and white old dance floor and the lights. So I went into partnership with him, and we were wildly successful in the beginning.
Annette still runs two other bars in the area, but the Hershey community had never really felt at home there. But this bar, for whatever reason, felt different.
And so with me there, of course, a lot of gay girls started showing up. And I was so excited about that. A lot of people I hadn't seen, it felt like being back at my bar. They would pop in to say hello.
The business was thriving, and Annette's kids had somewhere to gather again. Everything was going well for a few months until things went sour with Annette's new business partner.
He told me, and I don't know why it makes me laugh. I think I'm uncomfortable saying it, but he did not want gay women in there. That I was ruining his business. Well, why would you go into business with me? I mean, of course, I'm going to have my friends there, right? That would make perfect sense. And, you know, it was shocking to me because he's also a gay man. So I couldn't believe it. I was so disappointed and also hurt for my community, which is why I initially opened a lesbian bar to begin with, because I saw how we got treated in the gay male bars, right? And it really broke my heart for us, you know, as a whole. And I thought, I would never do that to anyone. And it made me feel the same way I felt when this gentleman told me he didn't want lesbians in his bar 40 years later, you know, that I had to hear this 40 years ago. And then it happened again. I will never understand how anyone from a gay perspective can treat other gay people that way.
In some ways, it feels like nothing has changed since Annette was a teenager.
Is it still difficult to be openly gay in the area?
Yes, it is. I can't. It's just a sense. It's just a knowing that you have, you know. So I would say yes.
But Annette will always want to keep fighting for her kids, and she never stops thinking about Hershey.
It's all I ever think about and all I ever dream about. But, you know, I've been through two tough blows
But it takes a lot to knock me down because I have a lot of tenacity when it comes to our community. I put up with a lot to keep Hershey's open, and I will put up with, it looks like I'm going to have to put up with a lot to reopen. I mean, I never thought I'd make it one day, and it's been over 5 years, and every day was the hardest day of my life without my bar. And, you know, I think we all as the community have suffered, and I don't know how to quell anyone else's pain because I am suffering too. And the only thing I could do is try to reopen, which has seemed to be an impossibility right now.
These days, Annette keeps up with the rest of the Hershey community via Facebook, and she still hosts a Thanksgiving dinner every year.
In fact, we made the front page of our local paper because I moved that tradition to my other bar, 37th and Zen. You know, it's a different neighborhood, but we still had, I think we fed 100 people last year, and they came through, and we were very grateful.
For Annette, though, it's never been about the number of people that show up.
There might be one little scared girl or trans kid that's coming out that might need us, and that one person matters to me. That one person, I remember very vividly being in the kitchen about 5 or 6 years ago, and I was making a turkey. I don't eat meat, but I had tofurkey too. But I was making a turkey, and I heard this little voice and said, "I knew you would be here." And she was crying, and she was scared. Whatever that day cost us, it was so well worth it to accommodate one person that needed us. So that's how our life here is. That's how I feel.
Cruising is independently reported and produced by a small but mighty team of three. Story producer and social media manager Rachel Karp, line producer and resident road trip driver Jen McGinnity, and story producer and audio engineer me, Sarah Gabrielli. Our theme song is by Joey Freeman. This episode was sponsored by Olivia Travel. You can find us at our website, cruisingpod.com, on social media at cruisingpod, or support us at buymecoffee.com/cruisingpod. Listen to Cruising wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.